5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program. Hey!
Hello, America and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. We're wrapping up a very busy, busy broadcasting week. And I think we got a good show for you today. I hope every single day is good. I invite you to join us live video stream, whole 3 hours, Wendy Bell Radio Network. Wendy Bell Radio, our podcast. It's great to get, take along with you. I'm glad if you're listening on the radio, you have found us even on X. And on Newsmax 2, their N2 channel, welcome all of you. Let's talk about the real story today. And I'm going to tell you, it boils down to this, 37 miles. And I'm going to explain what 37 miles is all about in the moments ahead. Whatever you do, keep coming back. We're delighted that you're here. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You know, sometimes all the words in the world do not convey the inner essence of a human being. Somebody can talk, you can think you know them, they can share with you. But how they act, the things they do, the decisions they make, speak volumes. And they speak volumes without saying a word. 37 miles separated Donald Trump at the funeral home, paying his respects to a devastated family, and a beaten police force. And Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and Bill Clinton coming out of the ground at Radio City Music Hall like Justin Timberlake at the Super Bowl, right? Yucking it up with all sorts of celebrities, showing you exactly who they are. And before we dig into the nuance of all of that, which really doesn't need much explanation because it's so insulting, I want to share with you a story I have. It wasn't until I was in my 40s, which is shameful, that I really began to appreciate the man my father was. He was a ball buster. And I was a deviant child. So we clashed heads a lot. Oftentimes he was right. Sometimes I was, but most often than not, he was. But his methods weren't always great. And there were many years where we did not talk because of me. And then after I had my last two children, and things got really busy, I started to see him differently, and I started to remember things that I saw as a child but didn't resonate with me in the moment. I remember getting up and going to the bathroom, and getting some water and seeing a light on at the end of the hallway. and quietly tiptoeing down the stairs, down the hallway to peek in without being seen. And it was my father with mountains of papers all over the kitchen table. It would be 2 or 3 in the morning. And that happened commonly. I heard the phone ring. We didn't have cell phones back then. But we had one of those long, long kitchen phones with a cord that's like 74 miles long, and it's all kinked up and it's terrible. And he would walk and pace back and forth in that hallway and talk to clients on the phone. And I didn't realize until much later that the majority of what I watched my dad do when he wasn't on the clock, he wasn't getting paid for. He's a financial planner, an insurance guy. And unbeknownst to me, when I was younger, he started something because he saw a niche that needed to be filled. He had a client with MS. And something inside him awakened as he realized, walking through this woman's paperwork for her insurance and all sorts of stuff that she couldn't possibly understand, how woefully inadequate she had been, inadequate the field was to provide her information to survive her disability with peace of mind. And so my dad started this nonprofit, which has grown and is now a national thing. And it has helped thousands of people for free by attracting other of my dad's all around the country who, like him, wanted to donate time, extra time. We'll help you for free. We'll give you the advice for free. We'll go through the documents and get you everything that you need. So maybe there's just one piece of your life that isn't complicated. My dad did these things quietly. And it took me growing up and becoming a mom myself to see. That is the kind of generosity and goodness that I grew up with. That is the kind of generosity, that is the kind of human being I see in Donald Trump. And I don't sit on this program to be a cheerleader for one man, though I would be lying to you if I said I wouldn't jump in front of a bullet for him. Because he is a good man. And Joe Biden is not. I don't have to go over some financial spreadsheet with you. I don't have to go through the X's and O's and the dollars and cents and say, oh, we've lost this many jobs, and oh, we've done such and such, blah, blah, blah. Because you know it. You see it. You feel it. You breathe it in every time you see him. And yesterday, the dichotomy between these three former presidents trying to create this illusion of unanimity, of power, of focus was so everything wrong. It was the wrong time. It was the wrong place. It was the wrong message. It was the wrong gloating. It was the wrong pomp and circumstance, because you don't celebrate and put yourself in a spotlight when somebody has been murdered. And when there's a little boy who's one, whose name is Ryan, who's not going to grow up to know his dad. Everything about that was wrong. I can't hyperspace into Joe Biden's mind and make him a decent human being, because I don't believe he got that gene. But it is so obvious. It is so woefully disappointing. And while it might sound that I'm going out on a limb, I'm going to say to you, last night, for three presidents or former presidents to band together and to not say a word about a fallen police officer, to not mention his widow, to not call the funeral home, to not manage a back door visit to not do anything. It hurts. I'm not surprised. But what you're seeing is other people who haven't been paying attention now waking up. There's no avoiding it now. And last night's juxtaposition of mourning and respect and love and kindness and generosity by Donald Trump versus the ego, the control, the insecurity, all things that are just gross about politics with Clinton, Obama, and Biden. I think it's going to do them in, friends. I think today's Democratic Party has a real identity crisis because the people they have lied to for years are full. They don't want to take any more. And what Donald Trump said in 2016, what do you have to lose, is now being translated into the minds of those Americans. We can't afford anything else. 37 miles. 37. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, I got to get a little quick FDA bug in there for you, a little ivermectin update. You know, that horse dewormer. I mean, you guys really shouldn't have been taking that, right? Oh, nice reversal, FDA, next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. In the next half hour, we're going to go over some of the nuts and bolts of where Trump was yesterday with the widow of the slain New York Police Department officer. We're going to also talk about this extravaganza at Radio City Music Hall. But right now, I want to get into this before it loses its freshness in my mind. You know, there are a lot of people out there who owe us a lot more than an apology. There is some serious crow to eat. And in my world, I would love to see people prosecuted, found guilty, and thrown in prison for the crimes that they have committed against humanity. Fauci, for sure. What an absolute scoundrel. Talk about just the devil. Wow, Wendy, that's big. You know what? Hell yeah, it's big. Don't spend our money to create a virus that then gets out into the world and blame a bat and then push a vaccine that's not a vaccine on billions of people. And when everything goes sideways, pretend that you didn't know. But this is the one that gets me. The FDA has settled a lawsuit over ivermectin content that doctors claimed harmed their practice. This is like the tip of the iceberg. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, this is on CNN, by the way, has settled a lawsuit over some of the posts about ivermectin, some of its posts, including what may have been one of its more popular pandemic-era social media campaigns. In August 2021, to discourage people from using ivermectin to prevent or treat COVID, the FDA tweeted, and you saw this, "You are not a horse. You are not a cow. Serious, y'all. Stop it." Right? Of course, the antiparasitic drug, which is prescribed to treat neglected tropical diseases in humans like river blindness and scabies, can also be bought over-the-counter at livestock supply centers to help deworm animals such as horses and cows. Some conservative outlets touted the drug as safe and effective against COVID, even though the FDA and the World Health Organization encouraged people not to use it. Now, we know why. We know why. You don't get emergency use authorization to push an experimental drug that you know sucks on everybody. If there is a viable alternative that is safe and effective and available right now, they had to absolutely demonize ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. They had to come out and say this, or else not be able to legally force everybody to take that jab. That's all it was about. It wasn't about your health. It wasn't about science. It wasn't about do the right thing. It wasn't about a once-in-a-lifetime global pandemic. It was about dirtbags wanting to make money and not giving a fat rip about what it cost anybody else. So the settlement goes through. You know, I agree with Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He's been on this from go. He's presented people or given them voices, those who have been vaccine injured, who have been demonized relentlessly by the fake news propagandist media. Demonized. Thrown away like January 6 defendants. The collateral damage of their great charade. The charade is over. So the FDA goes through and they have a settlement. All right, well, we'll scrub from the internet any of those things about ivermectin. We'll change all of the verbiage and say, you know, it works, whatever. Just leave us alone. That's not freaking good enough. And you know what's also not going to be good enough? When we snap out of this hypnosis, this bullying trance where people don't feel like they can actually say, you know what, it's funny. I trusted my government. I trusted all these doctors. I had to because my boss made me. And now I've got this, 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 and this. There should not be stigma with being collateral damage of corruption. It ought not happen. This is why I'm saying these choices. Nobody's sitting at home wringing their hands, wondering, who do I like better? What country did I like better? The one I enjoyed for 4 years with President Trump, or the decline of everything reasonable and rational, irrational and affordable and sane? Nobody's at home saying, eh, I haven't decided. There is no choice. We have a poll to drop on you. It's just a number. But it speaks volumes, and we'll speak a little bit more about it in hour number two. But it's young people. When I tell you how much confidence I have in this Generation Z, I think the girls, they're going to have some bumpy times ahead because they've been drinking in that Kool-Aid. But a lot of these younger men, they get it. They see it. They know it. They feel it. They're not stupid. Much like the Black community and Hispanic voters who this Democrat Party is desperate to get to. Hey, if you're part of those folks, if you're not, do not forget what they did to you. How they lied to you. This settlement that nobody's really covering. CNN's headline should be, dirtbags, scumbags at the FDA have agreed to settle a lawsuit because they know they suck. They know that they were wrong. And they know that they hurt God knows how many millions of people. And they are lucky to be getting away with it. Because what they should be is freaking bankrupted. That's the truth. 37 miles. Separating everything that is wrong and everything that ought to be instinctive, period. So let's talk about that, the distance between that funeral home and Radio City Music Hall. Whew. I'm Wendy Bell. You're dialed into the Wendy Bell Radio Network, and we are back right after this. You know, before I get into this segment, you know, what's really fun is being reminded by good people that despite all of the garbage that we read and that we talk about and that we hear, that the good outweighs that bad. It just does. It does. And you can feel like you're on an island. You can feel like you're all alone, and you know that north is still north and you know where you're going. And then all of a sudden you realize that once you start walking, there are millions of people with you. That is so cool. So we're sitting here on our live video stream, and I beg your pardon, because I'm a hot mess, because I'm crying about it, but that's not a surprise. I'm an emotional wreck. And all of a sudden, somebody starts putting up on the live video stream on our Wendy Bell Radio Network app. There's a chat like Facebook, and people show up at what, Brock, 5:30 in the morning and start chatting?
Yeah.
I mean, it's stupid. They
wait for me to post it.
It's stupid. The sun even isn't thinking about coming out yet. The show is hours and hours away, and people are waiting. They're waiting to get in to talk. And then somebody puts up, you know, here's $20 to go to the sponsored J6.com platform, which we support, which January 6th prisoner Jake Lang started. And everybody starts jumping in, and it's $5 here and it's $10 there, and there's a 50 and there's a 100, and it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You know, that is why the 37 miles had me tossing and turning last night, because it's not complicated. Being a good person and caring about other people is not difficult. We see it every day. People with random acts of kindness, not because they want clicks or likes or views or fame or anything. It's because of how it makes you feel, because your mom and dad raised you that way. One of the times I remember feeling like something I had done as a parent had hit. I was upstairs in my oldest son's room cleaning or doing something, and the room looks out over the driveway and the cul-de-sac across the street. And the woman, a widow who took care of her husband for years and years and years before he passed away, was outside struggling to get some groceries out of her bag. And I looked and I saw her, and I heard the door to the garage go up. And out streaks my son Michael to run across and help her. It's that seeing and reacting and not even thinking twice about it, because it's what you do, because it's right, and because we're good people. And I felt full, right? Donald Trump going to this viewing, this wake for Officer Diller. I know he did not do it for the photo op. I know he did not do it for a commercial. And I would be aghast if you saw that in any kind of campaign ad. That's not what Donald Trump is about. It is what Joe Biden is about. That's not what Donald Trump is about. And there's a difference. And it doesn't need explanation. You don't need me to walk through it. You know it, because you see it and you feel it. So we're going to start with the story of these two men, Biden and Trump. The first article is from the New York Post, and it was really a great article because their reporter who was covering the story had the opportunity to go on Trump's plane and speak with him privately, briefly, about violence, about this almost indescribable cavalier nature with which so many people treat life. You know, from abortion to crime to murder to all of it and drug overdoses and this cavalier just, oh, it's just another death. Whew. I gotta say, it takes my breath away. Headline, Trump declares slain NYPD cop's death must not be in vain after attending wake. Something has to come out of it. Something has to come out of it. Think about that message. Something has to come out of it. Out of all of this that we've gone through, something has to come out of everything I say to you when I say, do not forget. Do not forget. Because something has to change. Something good must emerge. It just must. Former President Trump honored fallen hero New York Police Department officer Jonathan Diller as top of his class at his Long Island wake Thursday as three other living presidents rubbed elbows with celebrities at a $25 million fundraiser that shut down Midtown Manhattan. It's all you need. I mean, you see it in your brain, don't you? If you close your eyes, you can see it. You can imagine what it was like for Officer Diller's widow and her family and his family and all of the police officers who traveled from around the country to do what they do, that they hate to do, but they do beautifully. Unite. In life, some things just capture a moment, and this captured a moment, Trump told the Post after leaving the emotional wake at the funeral home. This particular officer, great officer, top of his class, he captured a moment. The perfect family has been so tragically altered, forever altered. The reverence for the union of parents, for their unabashed love of their children. And there's a picture inside the funeral home where you don't see people smiling usually. There are a couple people who are stopped smiling, and it's the children who are around Trump. And he has his arm around a young man, like a grandfather. The Republican presidential nominee flew into Long Island to meet with grieving relatives and hundreds of uniformed officers. And he said he spoke with Diller's widow, Stephanie, met his one-year-old son, Ryan. I was telling Stephanie, the wife, who's incredible, a one-year-old baby, who doesn't know that his life has been greatly affected by this, he said on his private plane on the tarmac at MacArthur Airport. I said, something has to come of it. And the only thing that you could really think that could come out of this is that we get stronger and tougher so this doesn't keep happening. And then we flip over to this other story. I don't need to tell you more. You know. You know. You feel that. See, that's the link. It's indescribable. It's indefinable. It doesn't need words. It's like true love. You don't need to say it because you see it through your eyes and you speak it. And they don't understand that on the left. It's not a true love for Donald Trump, though I do love him. It's so much bigger than that. It's so much deeper than that. And we're tired of being wounded. Tired of it. CBSNews.com. Biden holds record-breaking New York City fundraiser with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. I mean, every wrong optic, everything that's wrong. There was nobody who was a part of that who was like, look, I know we've been planning this for a while and I know we need the money, but this is wrong. Everything about it is wrong. Is there not one person on the other side that sees that? There's not one who's not like, this makes me really uncomfortable. Lizzo, this felt right to you? Stephen Colbert, is there not like one speck of decency left in you, sir? No. And then the ultimate disconnect in three presidents. whose job description, number one, is to represent us, to do what is right for us. President Biden participated in a star-studded fundraiser with former Democratic presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton Thursday in New York City, in an event expected to raise more than $25 million for the president's re-election campaign. And they gloated about it. The tweets after the fact were was gloating. Right? It's like seeing somebody dead on the ground and then bragging that you stole their Rolex. Who does that? Thursday's New York City fundraiser at Radio City Music Hall, hosted by actress Mindy Kaling. No idea who that is. Featuring performances by several musical guests and artists, including Queen Latifah, Lizzo, Ben Platt, Cynthia Erivo, I don't know who that is, Lea Michele. I don't care. I don't care about you because you don't care about what freaking matters. And I don't have time anymore to waste on you. And if I see you, I'm going to turn off the television. I'm going to switch the radio channel. Obama accompanied Mr. Biden on the Air Force One flight from Washington, D.C. to New York earlier in the day. There was no attempt to go 37 miles to go to that funeral home. There was no care. 37 miles. The distance between two totally different ideologies, two totally different political parties and thought processes, two totally different ideas of America, two options. There is no option when you're fighting for the soul of America. There is but one choice. And I don't need to read to you all of the disgusting sidebar gloating things that happened as a young mom was preparing to bury her husband. All right, quick timeout. When we're back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, let's talk about this. It's always about the Benjamins. We know that money, money, money. We are going to talk about how Democrats brag about this $25 million they raised yesterday. Whew. Brain dead optics all wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Tone deaf next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. So I had to bounce over to Al Jazeera. Not like this is going to be some fair media interpretation of news, but when you put something in Google, you get all the same suspects. Politico, Axios, Newsweek, New York Times, Washington Journal, ABC. I trust none of them. Where do you guys trust news and information besides from us? Don't you like how I weaseled that in there? I know. Thank you very much. Al Jazeera. Even with the tone-deaf nature of this Obama-Clinton-Biden soiree last night, Biden campaign says event with Clinton and Obama raises record-setting $25 million. Hours before United States President Joe Biden, former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton were scheduled to take to the stage at the iconic Radio City Music Hall, Biden's campaign had already hailed an historic fundraising haul. The $25 million raised by the event, scheduled for Thursday evening, set a record for the most funds raised for a single political event in the United States. The record haul is an indication that Biden maintains strong ties to supporters with deep pockets, even as polls show his popularity flagging. Really? This historic raise is a show of strong enthusiasm for President Biden, Vice President Harris, and a testament to the unprecedented fundraising machine we've built. Unlike our opponent, every dollar we're raising is going to reach the voters who will decide this election, communicating the president's historic record, his vision for the future, and laying plain the stakes of this election. The event on Thursday promises to be the crown jewel in a series of high-profile fundraisers over the last 2 weeks since Biden nabbed enough delegates during the primary season to make him the Democrats' nominee in waiting. So Biden's team reportedly has $71 million on cash. Trump's team has half of that, less than half, $33.5 million. And this just goes to show you, it's all about money. It's all about the messaging. It's going to be about campaign ads. It's going to be about BS. It's not about slipping in the back door when people aren't looking. It's not about paying off somebody's mortgage. It's not about listening to people or phoning gold star parents when their sons or daughters are blown up and killed. That's not what it's about to the left. It's about the desperate desire to stay where they are, to stay in control, to finish the job. And they don't care that you see it. And that Barack Obama is brought in as some kind of a prop to try to convince black voters who are not stupid that you ain't black if you're not voting for Joe Biden. You know the disconnect there? The people who are getting pulverized, destroyed by crime, and terrible neighborhoods who can't get out, who want to educate their kids somewhere other than the failing public schools, but who can't because of the Democrats. The people who go to the store just like you do and realize that their money only goes 70% as far. The people who can't afford to drive anymore because it's not affordable. They are seeing the real living proof consequences of believing the unbelievable. That the Democrat Party represents anything other than an elite donor class, any more than the establishment rhinos represent a good old boys club nature of suck. I despise both. I repudiate both. A prolific fundraiser in his two previous presidential campaigns, Trump has kept a low profile in recent weeks, in part because of his court appearances for various legal cases. He's paying for his legal defense with donors' funds, apparently. His next political rally is scheduled for Tuesday in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Do you really think Donald Trump needs to saturate the airwaves with ads? I think all he needs to do is stay on his social media platform as commonly as he wants to, share the message, work with the RNC, get the right people in the right positions, call out candidates who he thinks are worthy, who are MAGA Republicans, who are conservative, not just Republican, conservative Republicans, and go that way. I don't know how you wake up as a Democrat, as a liberal, as a socialist, a Marxist, communist, all under the umbrella of the left wing of this country, and feel proud to be affiliated with these people, to feel proud of what they've done to this country, to not see around you as the face of your community is changing, and all of a sudden, a lot of strangers are showing up who don't look like you. And that it doesn't make you racist or hateful to notice that. This is the decision. This is purposeful. You're either going to go along as a pawn and you're going to be conned and you're going to do the same damn thing that you've always done and you're going to bitch and moan because nothing ever changes because you are the problem, or you're going to listen to those words. Historic. What do you have to lose? You have everything to lose if you stay the course. You have everything to gain if you snap out of cruise control and see what is at stake. And that's what we're going to do coming up in the second hour. That just flew by, you guys. Joe Biden is doing a great job. He's like the Chamber of Commerce for the Republican Party. It's great because he manages to flip more Democrats Republican. And this is why they've brought out Barack Obama. He is a chess piece pawn. He is being used by the apparatus, and he doesn't mind being used because he gets to take his bread and soak up the gravy whenever he wants. I wonder whatever happened to that chef of his. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio program, coming up next.